Welcome to Straight Talk. Before we get into our usual stuff and all that, we have a VIP on the line, and we're not going to keep him waiting. On the line, Congressman Don Manzullo, who's agreed to a little time with us this morning, and we're always grateful for that. Congressman, good morning to you.
How are you this morning?
We're terrific. How's everything going?
Everything is, you know what, as promised, the sun came up this morning.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy up here, actually, but, you know, eventually.
Well, it actually came up in Eagan.
For about
2 minutes, it peaked its rays through a giant oak, got excited, went outside to sit on the deck and drink my coffee, then it started to sprinkle. But that's okay. I know the sun's there, and that's all that counts.
All right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the cash for clunkers idea. I loved your idea when we spoke a while back, your initial voucher idea, which I thought was brilliant. Now, it got co-opted into something that, I guess, people liked but wasn't really well prepared for. What are we doing now?
Well, Riley, first of all, we are not talking about new money in this cash for clunkers. Back in September, Congress voted and President Bush signed the $786 billion stimulus package. I voted against that because I said that it was ill-conceived. Only 5% went for infrastructure. And we need something to get people back to work immediately. So what we proposed all along was to do this, is to give people a $5,000 point-of-sale voucher to buy any new car in the United States. And here are the figures on it. We went from selling 17 million new cars down to an estimated 9 to 10 million cars. For every $1 billion, that is spent. For every 1 million automobiles that are sold in this country, it brings back $750 million in income tax revenue. It puts back to work 60,000 workers directly involved in manufacturing and assembling automobiles and automobile parts. That doesn't count the untold tens of thousands that go back to work just as a result of more money being put into the economy. It provides $1.4 billion in sales tax revenue to the states, somewhere between $50 and $100 million in state income tax revenues, and it saves the federal government almost $1.5 billion in unemployment payments, food stamps, job retraining, and health subsidies. In other words, if we put the stimulus directly at the source of manufacturing, it actually pays for itself, it restarts the supply chain, and that's how we get out of this recession. We manufacture our way out of recession. We don't take that money and just slap it at the next Wall Street mogul to go there and waste it.
One of the things we heard about the Cash for Clunkers program is that it's starting to, as you mentioned, bring back the manufacturing, too. A lot of dealers are running out of supply.
Good!
And you've got to get the cars back on the lot.
That's exciting because people told me 6 months ago when I put the bill in and said, well, people aren't going to buy new cars. I said, you don't understand. There are enough old cars out there that people want to trade in because they simply have to. They have to get them done. I did not come up with the cash for clunkers idea. It's not my idea. My bill would have said you don't need a trade-in. You can go in there and you can buy a car without a trade-in. But what the cash for clunkers thing has done, it's gotten people so excited. The sales rooms have been jammed that what Congress initially thought would be the sale of 250,000 cars for the end of November sold 250,000 in the first week.
Yeah.
That puts people back to work. Additionally, the more fuel-efficient cars you put on the road, the less demand there is for gasoline. And you know what that means? That impacts the price of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is a winner all the way around on it. And I know a lot of people are upset over spending their tax dollars on getting these new cars sold. But the money goes directly into manufacturing. There are no middle people, no winners and losers to be chosen, no new organization set up. All it took was a simple program that Ray LaHood set up as Secretary of Treasury in order to get the checks back into the hands of the automobile dealers.
One of the provisions of the Cash for Clunkers bill that got a little bit more attention over the weekend is the fact that the cards that are being brought in and traded in, they have to be disabled. They have to be destroyed so that they can't be used again. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well,
has there been any discussion about changing it?
No, here's a compromise bill. What they did, first of all, they're going to crush the cars. And that would have put the aftermarket automobile industry in some pretty difficult shape because you get a lot of parts from cars that are junked. So the poison goes into the radiator, it destroys the engine. But the rest of the car can be sold through junkyards and for replacements. You know, there are a lot of repairs that take place on automobiles that don't use new parts. I mean, when I hit the last deer with my 97 Caravan, I told my insurance company, I said, go ahead and put a used hood on it from, you know, a car that's been junked, because you can't tell the difference and it's a lot cheaper. All those parts can still be used, everything but the motor.
Congressman, isn't this a wonderful example of how things would have turned around so much more rapidly if we would have just put more of this money in the hands of the American people?
Well, that's precisely the point. When the American people have the ability to spend their own money in this situation on automobiles, that really spurs. I mean, the automobile is the largest consumer item outside of a house in America. And when that automobile is manufactured, it puts all these people back to work. Now, if we get back up to, if we could get back up to, say, 15 million cars that are sold, you're looking at, you're looking at almost 500,000 automobile workers going back to work directly. Doesn't include the guy that makes more pizzas, the lawyer that's making the will for people, somebody that's selling ceramics or pots and pans, or people involved in retail. The only way we're going to get out of this recession is we have to manufacture our way out of it.
Do you think the message is being received? Is this one, hopefully, that the administration went, wow, look at this. Maybe we should rethink.
We've been saying that all along. And the problem is the administration was never interested in restarting manufacturing. And we've been screaming at them. And it finally took bipartisan effort, because I work very closely with a lady by the name of Betty Sutton, who's a member of Congress from Ohio. And she's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. And we've been going around buttonholing everybody and saying, look at you guys. You just can't keep on pouring money from the top. That doesn't restart manufacturing. Now, we have a new extension for unemployment compensation, and that's fine because people are still looking for work. But the better way to get them back to work is to get people back on the manufacturing line. That's what they want to do anyway.
Congressman Don Manzullo joining us this morning here on Straight Talk on WROK. The House did approve another $2 billion for Cash for Clunkers. It's waiting in for a Senate approval now.
That's correct.
Do you think that your provision of the $5,000 voucher without a trade-in being necessary is going to get some serious consideration?
No, it probably won't. The reason is that I'm in the minority, and the people that wanted the Cash for Clunkers said, look it, you know, if you're going to have this voucher for a new automobile, let's get some of the old cars off the road at the same time. It's proved to be wildly popular, and if I can't get my bill through, this is the second best thing.
What about, I had some, somebody asked me, and your provision in the Cash for Clunkers, now, with your idea, did you have that on any car or simply American cars?
It would be, under the trading rules, it has to be any car that's sold in America. Let me throw something out to you. The Jeep Patriot that's made here in Belvedere has about 63 or 64% American parts. The Toyota Sequoia has 88% American parts. So you have to figure what's the American car.
Yep, that's a great point.
You have to open up to all cars, and even as to, you know, obviously we hope that people will buy cars that are made here in America. But even if they don't, you're still seeing it still is a giant spur to the economy. Generally, of every new car sold, about 80% are made in the U.S. or with substantial U.S. content. And, I mean, that's just a general figure to work by. But I want to tell you guys, I am so excited over the people finally being empowered to go out and essentially spend their own money, buy a brand new automobile, And we're going to see factories opening because of this cash for clunkers.
Got about a minute left here with Congressman Don Manzullo here on WROK. Don't want to let you go before or without a question, a quick question about the health care with debate happening in Washington. Saw a story this morning that I know it's linked on your Facebook. I don't know if it's on your webpage, too, about the visitor from Sweden broke his hip out in the northwest suburbs saying how much better the care is here in America than it is in Sweden.
Yeah, there's an 88-year-old lady who I guess broke her hip in Barrington or Barrington Hills, way over on the east side of the congressional district. And when she traveled from Sweden to the United States, she very wisely bought a health insurance policy to cover her. And she was just absolutely excited about what's going on. What we have seen happening, if you take U.S. Outcomes compared to all the European Union, you'll find that, for example, in the area of survivor rates for cancer, much higher than you'll see taking place. In fact, there's people talk about, you know, how great the Canadian system is. Well, I chaired the U.S.-Canadian Interparliamentary Exchange for years, traveled extensively in Canada, talked to a lot of members of Parliament out there, and one time we were in Alberta, that huge province, and they had a handful of physicians. People could not find a doctor because a huge percentage of Canadian doctors, something like 11 or 12% of doctors who born and raised in Canada and got their MDs actually left Canada to come to the United States or go elsewhere, as opposed to 0.6% of people who received their degrees in the United States actually leave. So that's, you know, that's an untold story. The bottom line is the fact that people need to have choice. The Republican plan that we've come out with, we've been talking about for years, and it actually got through this through the House, but it got stalled in the Senate, would allow the small business people to come together in these giant association health plans, much on the same order as the unions, in order to have a central peg for the insurance and not dependent upon who the employer is. That, along with tort reform to keep the doctors from having to pay these horrendous judgments, except in those very, very rare cases. You know, the plans have been out there for a long time.